punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Are you guys ready for tomorrow? Our best chance in a long time for moisture, and it just keeps hanging in there. The weather stations for the last 3 or 4 days, I guess it depends on what mood they were in. Some said it went away, some it did, but looks like we are going to get some, especially south of I-40. I think everybody's going to get some, but there in the southwestern part of Oklahoma, they're predicting anywhere from 3 to 6 inches, and we'll see how it goes. It all depends on the temperature, but no matter what happens, we're going to get some moisture. Currently, right now, at Slap Out, it's 41. It's also 41 at the May Ranch, 40 at Alva, 41 at Lahoma, 42 at Putnam, home of B&L Red Angus, 42 at Cheyenne, 46 at Hollis, 47 at Mangum, 44 at Hobart, Oklahoma, capital of Kiowa County, and down there southeast of Altus at Tipton, it's 45, it's 44 at Shamrock, and 41 at Perryton, Texas. So anyway, let's see. I looked at the map a while ago, and let's see if it's still true. It's the first time I've seen the whole state of Oklahoma and parts of the Texas Panhandle in single-digit miles per hour on wind in a long time. I mean, we've had some calm days, but to see it on the map, it's crazy. The wind, it looks like a hurricane. Panhandle's got south winds up around Woodward. It looks like it's straight out of the west. Over here in northeastern Oklahoma, it's out of the southwest. And southeastern Oklahoma, it's out of the southeast. And looks like around Altus and in that area right there, it's basically out of the south end, southeast. Just looks like a big hurricane on the weather map on the mesonet. Let's check out, start the week out. Let's check out the soil moisture in southwestern Oklahoma and northwestern Oklahoma. Looks like the panhandle of Texas, the panhandle of Oklahoma, around Buffalo, Woodward, Ellis County, Roger Mills County, Beckham, Greer, Harmon, and Jackson, the moisture just, it ain't there. It's not much there, down to 2 inches and below, down to 4 inches actually. Get on further east over in Custer County and Ouachita County, they got some moisture. So hopefully this little shower we got coming tomorrow will change that. I mean, because I think if I remember seeing Lacey's deal a while ago, you know, down around Hobart and Granite and south of there, you got a chance for a half inch to three quarters of an inch of moisture. So that'd be great. Right now, the soil temperatures, the panhandle is all in the 30s. Around Kenton, it's 31. Degrees. Slap Out, you're at 36. Freedom, 33 degrees soil moisture or soil temperature. Cheyenne, you're at 41, and the warmest part in southwestern Oklahoma looks like it's around Tipton, and it's at 44 degrees. And same goes for right around Childress and in that area. It's in the low 40s. How's that? So anyway, the snow will be great if it'll stick, but we get it, we get it. How about that? Okay, let's see what's going on. Let's see what happened overnight. Soybean and grain futures were lower in overnight trading amid some wet weather in Argentina that should improve the soybean and corn crops as snow heads for parts of the southern plains. Rainfall is expected this week in growing areas of Argentina, which has been riddled with drought for months. Precipitation this week is expected to boost crops prospects in several states. The country is expected to produce 45.5 million metric tons of soybean, which is up from the 43.9 million tons a year earlier. Corn production is pegged at 52 million, which is up about 3 million from last year. Snow is expected in parts of the United States southern plains in the next few days, which should provide some more moisture for soil that has been extremely dry with hard red winter wheat growing areas. As much as six times the normal amount of precipitation has fallen in much of Kansas, eastern Colorado, and Nebraska in the past week, according to the National Weather Service. Storms are moving through the Texas Panhandle today and tonight, which might provide more relief for overwintering crops. Soybean futures fell 15 cents to 14.91 and a half cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down 780 to 45 or $455.90. That was a misprint. A short ton, while soy oil lost 12 cents to 61.85 a pound. Corn futures for March delivery declined 4.25 cents to $6.72 a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery fell 6.5 cents to $7.35 a bushel, while Kansas City futures dropped 9.25 to 8.38¾. Let's see where it is right now. I mean, everything in the grains is taking a big hit already this morning. March corn's down 13 to 663. May is down 12.4 to 662. And July is down 12 at 651. Soybeans down 24, over 24. March is at 1481. May is 1472, down almost 24. Soybean meal for March down a little over 6 at 457.40. A short ton for March. May is 444, down 7. And July is 435.80, down almost 7. Soybean oils is not down too bad, but it's in the red. March is 61.80. May is 61.82. Soybean oil for July is 61.51. Hard red winter wheat, March is down over 35 today already this morning at 812. May is down 32 at 808. Oats are down about 3. March is 368 a bushel. I think cotton's in the green, though. March is 86 cents a pound, and May is 87 cents a pound. So, anyway, crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, is up 61 cents to 82.25 a barrel today for March. Natural gas is hanging in there. February is at 336 and March is at 306. Looks like the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Dow are all in the green today. Gold's not. Gold's down 11 cents at $1,915 an ounce. How about that? Anyway, when I come back, we'll have a I see you too, Bridget. I'm glad you're watching. I just seen that pop up on my phone. When I come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. They got a meeting coming up this week, and they got a lot of meetings coming up over the next few months. Today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. I have a little more for that right after this break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, out City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
Beef is on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 10th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 28th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. Selling 65 head of 2-year-old and 18-month-old feed intake tested bulls. Also selling 20 head of bred heifers and 16 head of bred second calf cows. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 28th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, while I'm remembering, I had Bert and Joe in from the Hudson Angus Farms Friday on the show. They do offer a discount for veterans, military veterans. So if you're looking for a bull, give Joe or Bert a shout, and they will take care of you. And thank you, Bert, and his beautiful wife, and Joe for and his wife, too, for thinking of the veterans when they're selling bulls or cattle, period, to veterans. It's pretty cool. So, anyway, keep that in mind. Well, welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. Coming up Thursday, January 26th, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association policy meeting. It will be held at the Embassy Suites, OKC Northwest location, with check-in at 9 a.m. This is when OCA members from across the state meet together to discuss and vote on resolutions and policies for the association for the year. If you've ever wondered why the OCA does or doesn't have a stance on an issue or wanted to be part of the process of making new marching orders for your representation, then don't miss this. Early registration is open until January 19th, which is already gone. Just $45 includes a lunch. You do need to be a current paid member to attend. To register or for staff help in preparing your policy ideals, you can go to www.okcattlemans.org. Call the OCA office at 405-235-4391 or just call Lori at 580-273-5137. Decisions are made by those who show up. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, run by cattlemen for cattlemen. And I'll have some more on the OCA coming up here in the last part of the show. I'm talking to you about the district meetings coming up. I got the calendar just a while ago, so I'll talk a little more about that. Okay, once a day or once during the show, you know, we come out with the Jimmy's Bull and Female Sale Calendar in the Penny News, and it's also on pennynews.com. If you get on there and check out the bull and female sale calendar, it's in full force. And the one that I chose today to talk about is the OK&T Angus Breeders Association sale coming up. It's the 82nd annual sale. It's Wednesday, February 15th at 1 o'clock at the Fairgrounds Pavilion in Buffalo, Oklahoma. So far, they have 73 registered Angus lots, 48 bulls, and 12 open females, 11 bred females, and 2 pairs. For catalogs, contact Denny Jenkins, Secretary of OK&T, 580-938-1094. 938-1094. That's Denny Jenkins' phone number. And you can also go to www.oktangus.com. Easy to remember. Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, Angus. How's that? OKTAngus.com. So anyway, that's one of the ones I wanted to mention that was on Jimmy's bull and female sale calendar today. We got lots of, matter of fact, we got a new one today. I think I seen it on here. Let me see where it's at. Oh, yeah. Mr. Schweitzer. That sale is coming up. Quartermaster Creek spring pool sale. Got a new sponsor on the show today. So thank you for doing that. Okay, let's see what happened with the sale barn receipts from last week in Texas and Oklahoma. In Texas, there were 6,826 heads sold compared to 9,000 last week and 6,747 last year. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold mostly $2 to $4 lower. Trade activity and demand was moderate. Cattle coming off short wheat early due to extreme drought conditions. Supplies included 88% feeder cattle and, 9% slaughter and 3% replacement. Let's check out some of the prices in Texas. It looks like the 3 to 4 weights, they had some in there bringing up to $289. $275 for 3 to 4 weights. On 4 to 5 weights, $240. $226 was the average. $240 was the high end. On the 5 to 6 weights, it looked like they had some that was going over $215 was the average. $234 was top end. And on the 6 to 7 weights, looks like $1.89 was tops. $1.82 was the average down there. In Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers steady to $2 lower, $5 lower on those over 800 pounds. Feeder heifers were $1 to $4 lower. Demand turning moderate for feeder cattle as winter weather to the north slowed movement. Also, heavy runs the last few weeks is filling feed yards up quickly, leaving one to think pen space could be limited. Cattle futures sold in the red most of the week, and slaughter cattle trade moved another dollar lower. Weather systems in Oklahoma continue to move through, but most of the moisture is in the east. Much of the state remains in an extreme drought, and not much relief is in sight. Till tomorrow, we got some coming in. Got to be positive. Oklahoma, total receipts, 43,428 head compared to almost 59,000 last week and 38,000 a year ago. See what some of the steers were selling for. We had some unweaned ones that were in the 3 to 4 range that were bringing up to $261. $248.50 was the average. Had some with value added that weighed $322, brought $259. $253.95 was the average. And then we had some 4 weights. Some fancy ones brought $260. Some unweaned ones brought $226, weighing $441. And then down here in the 500-pound range, we had, here's some that was bringing $235.50. That was top end. $213 was the average. And some fancy ones were averaging $235. And some thin-fleshed ones weighing $518 was bringing $234.19 per hundredweight. Western Oklahoma livestock auction is going on right now over at Clinton, and I'll have that report for you tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm pretty sure, since they don't have a winter, they got a winter storm watch up there, but not an advisory. At Woodward, he'll be having his cow and bull sale tomorrow. Just check their Facebook page, and they always tell on there whether they're having it or not. And then Wednesday, as of right now, we're having one at Hobart at the Hobart Stockyards. If you got anything you need to sell or you need to buy, give Mr. Rex Fleming a ring. How about that? Okay. Let's go back here to the drought monitor to go over what it was last week. In Oklahoma and Texas, much of those two states missed out on a lot of precipitation last week, resulting in the expansion of the drought. In Oklahoma, temperatures averaged 10 to 13 degrees above normal over the previous 2 weeks, while precipitation has been less than 50% of normal over the last 4 months. Extreme, which is D3 drought, expanded in response to well below normal measurements of stream flow, groundwater, soil moisture conditions. Texas also seen a swath of degradations from the north central region to south Texas, where short-term moisture deficits on the top of the longer-term drought has continued to build, and stream flow, soil moisture, and groundwater levels range from below 10th to 24th percentile to well below normal, which was 10th percentile or lower. In the eastern part of this region, last week's rainfall erased any lingering effects of abnormal dryness. Just looking at the map right now, there is a lot of D4 showing back up in Oklahoma, mainly along the Kansas-Oklahoma line. And there's a little bit into the northern part of the Texas panhandle, but for the most part, the panhandle in Texas is in D1 and D2. Western Oklahoma, you are in a D2. Southwestern Oklahoma, you're in a D3. And we have a lot of D4 and D3 up in the north central part of Oklahoma, stretching down into eastern Oklahoma. All that stuff is east of Oklahoma City. We got that going on. I will let you guys know that I went and cleared out the savings account, put some fertilizer down Friday or Saturday, and some of it was on irrigated, some of it was on dry land. I had some left over, or I got a little extra. I meant to put a little extra on the irrigated. It just didn't work out with my measurements. So I put some down on the dry land and pray that we get some rain tomorrow, because I might hit a home run with it if we continue to get some rains. It'll take more than just this thing to catch us up. I know that I've seen lots of fertilizer spreaders going up and down the road this morning, so we'll see what's going on with that. Well, coming up here in the next segment, I got a special guest in here, Mr. D. I'm just going to call him Mr. D. Anyway, he just got back from Germany not too long ago, and he's over there for what, a month? Yeah, he's over there the month. He went and spent Christmas over there. Anyway, he's a big dog with the U.S. custom harvesters here in the United States. And we're going to talk about custom harvesting and getting FFA kids involved with going on harvest trips during the summer, because I remember mine. It was fun. So anyway, we'll be right back after this for another segment of Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Sugar Creek Casino presents Kicking Country and Taking Names.
Your life is short, so go on and live it. Cause the chicks dig it.
Country music superstar Chris Cagle live this Saturday night. Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center.
What a beautiful day.
Chris Cagle, one night only, live at Sugar Creek Casino.
Let's go good.
Get your
tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill DeRussia, and I'm a farmer and rancher in southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 13th. 1,846 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 286 brought 250. 9 at 456 brought 242. 4 at 491 brought 222. 15 at 617 brought 192. 10 at 654 brought 187. 16 at 663 brought 186. 4 at 678 brought 180. 5 head of heifers at 370 brought 210. 11 at 447 brought 190. 9 at 463 brought 192. 13 at 510 brought 180, 12 at 540 brought 177, 25 at 646 brought 168, 25, 12 at 668 brought 172.50. Butcher cows were 37 to 85, butcher bulls brought 58 to 110, bred cows were 850 to 1675, pairs brought 900 to 1600. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is happening February 22nd at 12:30 at the ranch near Leedy, selling 152-year-old bulls. Sires include Deer Valley Growth Fund, Monin Dakota 2528, and Baldridge Alternatives E125. Several other sires represented. Also selling commercial females carrying GC genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale happening Wednesday, February 22nd at 12:30 at Quartermaster Creek Ranch, southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online. For videos and sale information, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Happy Cap Hour. Here is your forecast for northwestern Oklahoma, and I picked Fairview for the one today. 42 degrees currently, humidity 60%. The winds are basically calm. Winter weather advisory until 6 a.m. on January 25th. So you got till now, till Wednesday morning. Keep eye out on the storms. Hope you get some moisture. Don't look like it's going to be a blizzard, but we'll take it however we can get as long as it don't all end up in the bar ditch. Today, 48 degrees, no wind. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Tomorrow, 90% chance of snow. 35 for a high, no wind, north to out of the north, 2 to 8 miles an hour. Can't even believe they wrote that down. But anyway, tomorrow evening, 60% chance of snow, 27 for a low. Wednesday starts warming back up, mostly cloudy though, 43. Thursday, partly sunny, 45. And Friday, look out, 56 degrees. But you know, with it warming up that much, we're going to have some wind. Looks like the wind will be out of the west, 15 to 17 miles an hour. With wind gust up to 25 coming up Friday. All right, well, on the show with me now is Mr. David Meisner. Did I get that right?
You sure did.
Oh, my God. Anyway, he's German, and so I'm not very good with that. Anyway, but David is the owner of Green Acres Enterprises. Tell everybody, David, what Green Acre Enterprises is.
So I do have a custom harvesting operation and start here and around Elk City and move north all the way to North Dakota and harvest throughout the year and get back down in November usually to try and do some harvest of cotton to finish out my year.
What all do you do from when you leave Elk City and go north? Is it just milo and corn, wheat, everything?
So we start out doing wheat, okay, and winter wheat.
Yeah.
And then as time goes on, we get doing spring wheat, oats. Then we usually get into North Dakota and do canola, maybe some peas. They say field peas actually up there, flax, just kind of whatever they grow. It's a few different crops up there in North Dakota, and get back to South Dakota, and we usually do soybeans and corn, and once in a while some milo, and then back here to Oklahoma, and then I do cotton and milo and sesame to finish out the year.
What's your favorite crop to harvest?
Oh, boy.
Good question.
It's nice,
huh?
Yeah, it's nice to do like wheat because off the ground, but I do enjoy doing soybeans, but when we're doing soybeans, we're cutting on the ground, so you got to watch a lot more for rocks and just intake of extra materials that you don't want inside the machine.
And what is your thoughts on corn harvest?
Corn can be a lot of fun. I do enjoy it, but myself, I usually prefer to not do corn because I don't have to have as many trucks because we don't have the yield in the other crops like you do with corn.
Right.
But because then when I'm due corn, I use all my trucks on one combine where I can make a little more money at the end of the day if I'm running both machines instead of just one.
Right.
Or else I got to find some more trucks that work.
With corn, I found that out this year before the hogs got in down there. It don't take long. The old grain buggy guy's not sitting around very much.
No, that's right. And, yeah, it's fun for the guy running the grain cart. There's no idle time at all.
No, he's not over there. But okay, so ask you a few things before we get into the harvesting part of the deal. Ask you a few things. So the different, and I know weather dictates a lot of this, but on the average, where's your major wheat crops at? Where do you harvest them at? Kansas?
Yeah, Kansas, there's a lot. Our best yields that we typically do are in South Dakota and North Dakota. It's just not as hot and of course, dry as it is here in this part of the region of North America and whatnot. But they just get cooler temperatures and just don't get as hot, more moisture. And this year I did up in the Dakotas anywhere from 50 to 90 bushel wheat. And
what's the best wheat you've ever combined?
About 106 bushel an acre.
That's pretty good.
And I say that in the United States. There was one time I was on my father-in-law's farm in Germany, and yeah, it was more 140, 150 bushel an acre. It was
Is that
really,
dry land?
Yeah, that was dry land wheat.
They got some good dirt, huh?
They do. They do.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about Germany. You just got back from over there, and what's the difference in farming between here and Germany?
Well, my in-laws live in the western part of Germany.
Okay.
And lot more people and stuff. And, of course, that was West Germany, and it wasn't East Germany with communism and stuff that, you know, after World War II. So the land stayed with who it was. And so most of the farms are a lot smaller. I mean, if like my father-in-law, for the most part, he farmed about 250 acres was all. And so
150 bushel wheat, that's all right.
That's right. You know, and so you concentrated on your work and what you had on every acre. And you know, you got more. So, of course, you could easily put more fertilizer down. And he would top dress his wheat usually twice because he got the yield. So, right. You know, you get the yield, you got the moisture, you got the weather.
He's got a small track. Smaller tract than most major farmers over here in the United States, you can take care of it so much better.
Yeah, you know, just watching it and yeah, they do a lot of traffic control on their field as well, and it's total different crops over there. And I mean, that wheat's just one of his that he does. That's his one he likes having the most of because he also boards a lot of horses, lives close to some bigger towns, so a lot of people from in town come out and bring their horses. And
He watches them.
Yep, he takes care of them, so he needs that straw.
I bet it's beautiful over there, though.
Oh, it is. It's a lot of fun, and Christmas time is really neat. Germany has what they call Christmas markets, and it's a lot of place and just community coming together, and on the kind of like we do a little bit here in Elk City around Christmas time on the weekends and stuff. Right. It's kind of the same idea, but
drive through Ackley Park.
yeah, that's right. It's just a lot of fun, and you stand around and have something to drink and stay warm and just enjoy the Christmas time frame.
Somebody must know you because they've already texted in. Your guest may be German, but his accent sounds like a Colorado native. but she's got hearts after it, so it was all good. What about the equipment? The difference between over here and Germany? Are they into precision farming like they are here?
Yes, they are. They have, you know, the tractors, all they do GPS on everything and whatnot as well. And,
right.
But just smaller tractors.
Right.
A lot of tractors are 150 horsepower. All of them are front wheel assist. Not a lot of farmers own semis or trucks or something. When you bring the crop to market, wherever it might be, you bring it with your tractor and a wagon. And it's just, that's the way it's done.
I've seen that on YouTube. That's pretty cool.
It is, but, you know, because of that, they travel a little faster on the road. Usually they're traveling 30 miles an hour.
They're not on the Autobahn with the tractor, are they?
Nope, they're not there with that.
So is there a lot of custom harvesters over there compared to what you do over here?
There is quite a bit of custom harvesters over there, but they don't travel like we think of a wheat custom harvester where he picks up and he moves to the next like what I do. But there is a lot of, it's just so localized harvesters, but then they'll do everything from the beginning, you know, whether it's planting or spreading manure or fertilizing to harvest or whatever the crop, or just bringing the material back to the elevator. Because like at the end of the year, they'll pile like sugar beets and potatoes a lot, maybe at the end of the field, because they can't get it to market right away. So they'll pile it, and then they come back a month later, and then they bring it to the elevator.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I have noticed a lot of, especially on YouTube, they take their manure spreading serious over there.
Oh, they do. They do. There's a lot more government regulation that goes on with that as well, and they want to make sure that it's spread evenly and covered up, because they don't want to have the smell, and they want to make sure that it's in there, and they're watching a lot more about the material leaching into the water system and whatnot. Right. So there's a lot more stuff that's being thought of.
So
as
when
well.
You say cover up, define cover up.
So they like to inject the liquid manure into the ground 3 inches or more, and have some style. Usually it's like a knife injection, but they'll also maybe have like a disc blade that'll go over the top of where the knife is to help even do a better job of covering that material, because they don't want it, if you will, laying on top of the ground. Now, of course, if you got something that's a mix with straw, you know, like my father-in-law has a lot, you can't incorporate that right away. You know, you'd have to put it down and then either plow it under or some fashion. Yes.
Right. I got you. Well, cool. Okay. So we're going to get, so you have a custom harvest crew, but you are a member. You're a board member actually on the U.S. Custom Harvesters Board. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that organization was started back in 1983. And so we are celebrating our 40th anniversary this year, kind of excited about that, and so I've been on the...
What are you guys going to do to celebrate?
Well, right now we in another week we're going to have our annual convention.
Okay.
And
that's in Omaha?
In Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
And we're kind of excited. It is going to be definitely, right now we have more people pre-register than we kind of think we ever have. If it hasn't, it's been darn close to being the most pre-registered than ever. And we usually get more come in as walk-ins. And so we got a lot of harvesters that are coming for that, and the kids that are going to be coming. And all my kids are coming, and just they have so much fun. Kids were kind of excited this past week. They actually had gotten a couple letters from other harvesters and saying, hey, other kids, and you know, are you going to be to the convention, aren't you? They're looking forward to it. So it's a good family event.
Well, I know if it's a harvest crew convention, there's going to be the best of the best equipment there in there.
Yes, there is. We do. We got a little over 100,000 trade show floor that we have for equipment and vendors, and so there's a lot of stuff that's there and a lot of fun, and it's just all kinds of farm equipment.
All your major red, green, yep. See what's cleaner, silver.
Yeah, yep.
And then we got, help me out, name all the combine companies.
Well,
we got John Deere, International.
Yep, Gleaner, New Holland, and Kloss.
Kloss, yeah,
and
that's
something
the one I was
we
trying
can
to
say
of.
That we're really excited about. Kloss, the owner of Kloss, that's the biggest major machinery manufacturer in the world that is still a family-owned business.
Okay.
And the owner of Kloss is actually going to come to our convention this year and spend a couple days
with us.
Yeah, so it's just neat and awesome that they're flying in from Germany to make sure that they're a part of that.
Because I'm getting to see more and more Kloss equipment in the United States.
There is. There's a lot of people that have the silage chopper Kloss machines.
Right.
Not as many people have the combine, but they are getting more. And I know one guy that he switched to all Kloss machines. He bought one year before, and this year he's going to have, I believe he's about 7 machines, and he traded every one and went to Kloss now.
Oh, wow. So, darn, that hurt.
Yeah, big
for
change
somebody.
That's right, big change for him, too, and, good for Kloss, you know?
Yeah. Hey, let's stop right here and take a break, and when I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for southwestern Oklahoma, which looks really good starting tonight and into the morning because we're really in dire need of moisture. When we come back, I'll continue my conversation with David Miser, Green Acres Enterprises, right here east of the golf course and the roundhouse, 4 miles east. Is that right? 4 miles? Yeah, east there between there and Canute or Burns Flat. Anyway, he's got a custom harvest crew here that he runs from up here down to there. You actually even do custom planting and stuff, right?
I sure do. I've got a planter that I do quite a bit of planting with.
And he does a great job. I've heard some results back from some of the people he's been doing some planting for over around the Canute Foss area. So it worked out good. And I can tell he's a hard worker. And he let me borrow his moisture tester for my corn when we was combining corn. But anyway, we'll get back. We're going to finish talking about this convention in Omaha, and then we're going to get into, he is a very big avid sponsor of FFA week here in Oklahoma, and he wants to talk about that and getting FFA kids involved with custom harvesting, because back in the day we all went on, and I know I did.
It was a young dream to make happen.
Oh yes. We'll be right back after this with Jerry Nine's livestock report from last Thursday.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, January the 17th, we sold 665 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, January the 19th, we sold 4,618 calves and feeders for a total of 5,283 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows, 81 to 92. Thin cows ranked 69 to 77.50. Bulls brought 70 up to 105. 3 to 4 year old open cows to breed, $1 up to 116. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1,275 to 1,600. 9 and older bred cows, 1,100 to 1,225. 2 to 8 year old pairs, 1,585 to 1,650. And our 9 and older pairs, 1,300. On our steer cattle, 3 to 350 steer, 251 to 267. 4 to 450, 198 to 226. 5 to 550, 185 to 220. 6 to 650, 177 to 189. 7 to 750, 172 to 177.50. 8 to 850 steers, 169.5 to 177. 18 steers win, 968 bring 160. And our 1,000 to 1,050 pound steers, 159 to 161. On our heifers, 3 to 350 average, $2 to 208. 4 to 450, 184 to 207. 5 to 550, 167 to 187. 6 to 650, 160 to 176. 7 to 750, 162 to 172.5. 8 to 850, 155 to 169. And 6 heifers weighing 1,040, bring 147. For this Tuesday, January the 24th, we will have 50 bred cows, 4 to 8 years old. We've got 20 other bred cows and pairs, 3 to 7 years old, 4 by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Bardice & Ford Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs. Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barber Dyson difference. BarberDysonFord.net.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 16th. 2,733 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 286 brought 251. 9 at 456 brought 213. 3 at 592 brought 195. 14 at 706 brought 179. 59 at 780 brought 179.25. 24 at 833 brought 178. 45 at 875 brought 173. 4 head of heifers at 318 brought 210. 6 at 453 brought 200. 12 at 549 brought 182.50. 13 at 648 brought 162, 8 at 667 brought 169, 10 at 687 brought 166, 40 at 743 brought 169.50. Butcher cows were 10 to 88, butcher bulls brought 60 to 104, bred cows were 650 to 1150. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. Grab your 13 dimes and a nickel.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I picked Altus, Oklahoma, home of Altus Air Force Base. 46 degrees currently right now. I think they're the only town in Oklahoma that's got wind right now. 41 degrees wind chill. The humidity's 47. The winds are out of the east. Southeast, 12 miles an hour with gusts up to 17. Today, 52 degrees. Tonight, 40% chance of rain. Tomorrow, 100% chance of rain slash snow. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. Wednesday, partly cloudy, 44 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny, 47. And Friday warms up very nicely to 54 with southwest to west winds, 12 to 14 with gusts up to 20. Real quickly before I get back with David, tonight, Elk City FFA auction, Monday, January 23rd, Civic Center. Hamburger and homemade desserts at 6 o'clock. Auction begins at 6:30. They got all kinds of stuff. Everybody's in the FFA chapter has made something. They got 150, 175 kids in this chapter now. Picnic tables, shooting stands, deer stands, raised garden bed, chicken coops, shooting tree, pistol rack, garage chair organizer. They got everything. Project photos are available on Facebook and Instagram. For more information, email dillinger.carey@elkcityschools.com. And a new thing this year, sponsor a banner. There's only four of them to put in your hang in your business. There will be only four of those available tonight. And then dinner is by donation. All purchases are tax deductibles, cash, check, and credit cards accepted. 6 o'clock tonight it starts. Auction starts at 6:30 at the Elk City Civic Center. Good luck with that. All right. David Meisner with Green Acres Enterprises is here. He's also a member of the U.S. Custom Harvesters Board, or he is a member on the U.S. Custom Harvesters Board. We was talking about Omaha, and I'm glad I asked you before we come back on air. This this convention is for members only. Yep. It's not open to the public.
It's for the members of the association, and we have members throughout all of the United States.
Can I get a media pass?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's yes. How I'm going. If anybody wants to go with me and help pay for the fuel, the text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. Anyway, some of you farmers, I'll just give you a KCO hat, and you'll be part of the press if you want to go see all this new stuff. Because you know these harvesters, you got the in on everything.
Oh, yes.
You don't see some of this stuff out here on the lot, like at Western or Arthur Brothers or something like that. But anyway, I bet that's going to be pretty cool. So you'll have to come back in after that.
Oh, yes. I can come back in and tell you how it went and whatnot. And I can say we're excited for, in a year from now, we're going to have it in Oklahoma City, so a lot closer to home.
Really? Oh,
yes.
Well, I'll definitely come into that one. Well, let's, we got about 6 or 7 minutes left here. Let's touch on something. You guys probably seen it the same, if not worse, finding help.
Oh, yes. We're always looking for help. And, you know, we're only a part-time deal that we need somebody, you know, throughout the summer and the fall.
I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about all harvesters.
That's correct. We are. We're always looking for help. And I know some people, myself even, I've gotten some foreign help before. And it's gotta have some help. And they've been, myself, it's usually college kids that come over and want to do it, and they're going to go back to their own farm. And it's so fun to see them leave and what they've learned. And I had one guy that was with us this past year, and he says, when I got all said and done, the thing that I liked the most is everything I learned while I was here and the experience I had, and nobody can ever take that away from me.
No, you can't. Because I remember my first trip to Valentine, Nebraska. And I don't mean this in a rude way, but when the harvest crew showed up, the farmers locked their daughters up in the cellar, and the bars ID'd you when you were coming in. And my boss taught me a valuable lesson. I was young, and I was legal to drink, even though we couldn't start the next day till noon because of so much humidity. He'd get us up before the crack of dawn, and after a couple nights out on the town, I quit going out on the town. And those mosquitoes are huge up there.
Yeah, it's a different climate when you go up north than what it is right here, but it's so nice to go so many places and see
so
different.
Many, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you get it going, you get it paid for going there.
Well, you guys, you're big. You told me the other day, last year you sponsored National FFA Week in our Penny News, and that's not the reasons he's in here. I've been wanting to get him on here for months, and he had to take a break and go to Germany on me. And you guys want to have these, make it known to these FFA kids, especially juniors and seniors, about going on harvest with you guys. Try it out. Go do it.
That's right.
I'm sure the pay's still pretty decent.
Oh, it is. It's good pay. And our organization went to the FFA convention that was, I believe it was in October or November,
it was. Just a few months back.
Yep. And we had some members that were there and represented and had a lot of good turnout with everybody. So some people, if they did get to go there, maybe got to see our booth and stuff that was there.
Right.
But, yeah, we're always looking for individuals that want to come and have this good experience and have something help with that good work ethic.
And the equipment nowadays, is, man.
Yep.
Back, we had a, when we went on harvest there back in the, what was it, early 80s, we had a 6620. and a 7720. That was the two machines we had, and we had three bobtail trucks. We didn't have a semi, and we pulled the combines behind those bobtails with drag axles, and it was fun. But, I mean, just to, you know, you kids are even thinking about being interested in it, you need to do it. You need to do it at least one season, but don't think this is a cakewalk.
No, it's not, but it's a lot of fun, and just people, when they go home at the end of the year, they are so excited that they did what they did.
Yeah.
It just...
We didn't even have GPS back then.
Yeah.
And those wheat fields up there in Kansas and Nebraska are huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's total different. You know, it's like I said at the beginning, you know, saying the wheat yields differences, what we have from here than what you get up in the Dakotas. It's just a big, big, big difference. It's nice to see that different crops and different land and different people and personalities and what goes on and making things happen. But we're always seeing the farmers.
If somebody's dad's listening because their music's playing, if somebody's dad or mom's listening and they want to send their kid away for summer school on a harvest crew, how do they look up?
So look on our website, which is the U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, so short USCHI.
Yeah.
And right on there, we have a deal that you can click on. You know, want to get hired? Yep. Be hired on a harvest crew.
Will you come back after the convention?
Yep.
I want to hear about some of the new stuff that are out.
We don't do.
Thanks, David Meisner, for being on today. We're here in Elk City with Green Acre Enterprises. I hope you guys enjoyed today. Have a good day.
Oh, come on. This is fun. Right? Isn't this fun? This is nice.
KECO, Elk City.